As Mr. Rake mentioned, my title is On Belay, and I assume, let me just pull the audience here locally. How many of you know what that means? Well, not everybody, so at least they've got a sort of captive audience here. The first time I was ever on belay was done in preparation for introducing rock climbing as an activity at the Worldwide Church of God's summer educational program in Orr, Minnesota. Rock climbing wasn't something I had ever done before, and I didn't know the term at that point either, belay that is. But several of us from the Pasadena campus, a bunch of us from the PE department, the Pasadena campus of Ambassador College, tested rock climbing out one Sunday in Southern California. We figured the instructors ought to know a little bit about what rock climbing was all about if we were going to have all these hundreds of campers go through the program up in Minnesota. Well, first we went through, you know, some pretty extensive safety instruction, but then came that momentous time when we actually had to rappel down the face of this modest rock out in the foothills of Southern California. That involved descending a near vertical rock face by using a double rope coiled around our body and fixed at a higher point. That higher point is really the critical factor here, because it involves some anchoring by a belayer. That is the person who belays, the person who controls the safety actually of the rope, make sure it's not tangled or twisted, or make sure it's connected, but that's who and what the climber depends on. Well, for me, the first descent was terrifying because you back up against the rope, you got tension, you got your belayer over here, and you're going down this rock, rappelling down. You know, you have to release the rope and you go down. And it takes a little of your breath away the first time you lean over and you have to put all of your confidence in that rope. And as I mentioned, the first time down, it was like I had questions going through my mind. Will I fall? Will the rope break? Will the belayer make a mistake? So I'm depending on the rope, the belayer, my own courage. Well, the second descent was truly fun, and we did several more. In fact, when I got down to the bottom the first time, I couldn't wait to get back to the top to do it again. And it ended up that we added rock climbing as an activity at the camp in Orr, and the kids, it was a tremendous learning opportunity, and it really helped a lot of the campers. I'd like to point to one lesson, one I think that comes away from that adventure in rock climbing, is that it involves stepping beyond one's comfort zone by overcoming fear and doubt. Those are easier words to say than sometimes to do. Now, I want to go back to the belayer for just a moment. That belayer is the one who controls the rope of the climber to which the climber is attached, so that if the climber falls, he doesn't fall too far. And there will be times when you're on belay that you might slip a footing or something and fall, but you get immediately caught because you're tied in securely. Well, for Christians, being attached to God the Father and to Jesus Christ means that we will never, any of us, fall too far when we step out in faith. And we are challenged to step out in faith. In fact, it's recorded in Hebrews 11 that it is impossible to please God without faith. And that takes some doing sometimes. a few examples here about this and how God viewed it and also what he told the individuals involved. Note what God promised Israel first in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 31. It's recorded in verse 6, and this is right at the close of Moses having leadership over Israel, and it was passing to Joshua, but here he's talking to all of Israel. God wants this said to them by Moses. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, talking about the enemies in the land to which they were being led. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I think the children of Israel forgot that many times. And then in verse 7 of Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, the leadership was passing from Moses to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Don't be afraid. And I wonder how many times in our Christian lives have we faced those moments when we became afraid in being willing to go forward and obey God, no matter what the consequences might be. Now I'd like to go to Joshua 1 and read what God actually said to Joshua, repeating the same message, and it is a message that falls throughout the Bible. Joshua 1, verses 5 and 7. This is the promise that God is giving to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper where you go. And then in verse 9 again, and it's interesting that God really makes a point of this as the leadership is transitioning from one leader to the next, and also for the leaders themselves, what God is telling them. Verse 9 then of Joshua 1, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Well, that's all well and good for Moses and Joshua and Israel of old, but we need to also be aware that that same promise is brought forward to Christians. And that's found in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, even quoting from what I've read before, actually, in the Old Testament. Hebrews 13, verse 5, some general instructions. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we're bringing this home to ourselves, brethren, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Maybe sometimes we ought to just stand up and recite that out loud to, you know, strengthen ourselves a little bit. But certainly something that can enter our prayer life, asking God to really help us believe and act on that approach. Now, remember, let's get an example of someone who did something that was not quite like rock climbing, maybe a little more. Well, it's just different, let me put it that way. And this involves Peter. Remember how he stepped out in faith and boldness and walked on water, at least for a little bit. You can read about that in Matthew 14, one example. I'll not turn there right now. But he then began to doubt to such an extent that he had to be rescued by Jesus Christ. He reached out a hand and pulled him up out of the water. And you have to muse a little bit and think about an anchor point. You know, well, I'll get a good grip and I'll have the flooring. No, Christ was doing that while walking on water. And I will agree that this is a lesson about faith, but another point is to be made here, and it's very important for us to understand. Peter did not drown. He was saved. And sometimes we don't get the full impact of some of the stories that we read from the Bible, but when we're doing things of faith, God is there to protect us. Peter started in faith, no question, and he ended up his life in faith, but it's one of those lessons along the way. Let me relate back to the rock climbing example. God is telling us that we are on belay in that sense. We're secure. He has our back. He has us covered. And another way to look at it is God is always there for us, always. We will face doubt and fear, no question. But our approach should be like that of the Apostle Paul, who made this statement after the many trials that are recorded about him. Paul states, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And brethren, so can we.